all the time. Ah! This morning, you know, we've been doing Revelation, and we're going to go back to Revelation. We haven't forgot, but I also know that at our holidays, a lot of times people are out doing their holiday thing, and sometimes they got their mind more on that than they do Revelation, and so we're going to just focus on Thanksgiving for the next few weeks. And then we're going to focus on Christmas, the birth of Christ. But starting in January, we're going back to Revelation, and we're going to do it like we normally do, and that is a little bit at a time. We want to have just enough to keep your whistle wet. Amen? Look at somebody and tell them God's good. All the time. Y'all stand up. Get your Bible out. Turn to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. God is so good. Vicky, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Vicky. Y'all are looking good. Nope. Go ahead. Awesome. The door prizes. All right, good. Yeah, my doors could use some prizes. Great. Okay. All right, now have I missed anybody? Okay, there you go, exchange gift. Amen. I'm really holding back. I'm holding back. Y'all ready? God's good. All the time, God is good. Okay, let's go to the Lord in prayer. First, let's read Psalm 100. Look at Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. That means listen, all ye lands. Didn't say all the church, all ye lands. In other words, everybody needs to get involved in this. Everybody. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know you that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Somebody say amen or ouch. All right. And His courts with praise. Amen. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Father, I love you, Lord. I praise your name. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your mercy. I thank you, God, for all you say and all you do. I thank you, God, that you're alive and well and on the throne, God. I thank you, God, that there's absolutely nothing, nothing, nothing that can go on in our life that you can't help us with. And if we allow you, you can be in control of. I ask you right now, Lord, to minister mighty to us and through us, Father, and help us, Lord, to be thankful, even in the midst of all this mess. Learn to be thankful, because it's during our thankfulness in all this mess that people will start turning to us to find out why we are so excited, even though the world is turned upside down. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and the church said, amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. So now, let's just go over this. I want to say something, and I didn't put it up here, or did I put it up here? I can't remember if I did or not. Anyway, about here it is. What if you burn your turkey? Has anybody ever burnt your turkey? Okay. I'm going to give you something to help you out now, a positive way to look at it. If you burnt your turkey before or burn it this year, remember this. Number one, salmonella won't be a concern. Number two, no one will overeat. Number three, everybody will think it's Cajun blackened. Here's my favorite. Uninvited guests will think twice next year. Next, your cheese, broccoli, lima bean casserole will gain newly found appreciation. Pets won't pester you for scraps. The smoke alarm was due for a test anyway. You'll get to the desserts quicker. And you don't have to face 3 weeks of turkey sandwiches. Amen. God is so awesome. I thank Him for Him and His humor. Because God developed and God actually created humor. Amen. And so I thank Him for that. Because that's a good way, when things are going crazy, it's a good way to help find some relief. Amen. So now, I just read Psalm 100. Let me ask you a question. Anybody face any hardships lately? I was listening yesterday, and I heard one guy say one of his biggest sellers in his restaurant was chicken wings. He sold them for 25 cents a piece. He said now he has to charge $9 for 6 and still can't break even. $9 for 6. The guy that was cutting my grass came up and said, dude, I'm going to have to go up on you next year. I said, what's going on? He said, there's blades. He showed me a pack of blades. He said, this pack of blades just a few months ago was $70. He said, I just bought a new set, $140. And that goes on and on and on and on. The list is unstoppable of all the crazy stuff that's happening around us. And so the whole world is facing hardships, and it seems like to me that the world keeps shooting itself in the foot. You got bad things going on, so let's try to help it make it even better, and we'll just shoot ourselves in the foot again and again and again. So we see these hardships, okay? So now, with this hardship with COVID, COVID-19, COVID-20, COVID-2021, man, it's just been all over the place. So again, I was in the prison last week, and I was talking with the guys, and we were in group session. And I said, describe how you're feeling right now. What do you think about the situation that you're in? And the number one, because being together and they can talk it out as a group always seems to help. You know, it's called catharsis, where you actually get a chance to I call it have a brain vomit, but you get some of the stuff out of your head you're carrying around, out of your heart. It really helps a lot. And so we're talking, and the number one word that they said was, we feel stuck. Stuck. And some of the answers after that was so amazing, because remember, although these guys are at Pitt Detention Center, all those guys may be heroin addicts, you got to remember, there's guys in there with doctor's degrees, there's guys in there that are professionals, and there's all kinds of guys been in there. One guy was a professor. You know, so this isn't just, you say, well, what kind of guys you got? You got all grades of guys from all walks of life. But you sit there and listen to them talk, and the biggest thing they talked about was being stuck and being depressed and full of anxiety. Depressed about what got them in there and anxiety about what's going to happen to them coming down. And I told them, I said, I know that you feel this. I said, and I know this might not help you right now, but eventually it will. Understand that what you're experiencing behind these four walls, the world is experiencing also. It's everywhere. It's like, I hear it all the time, I just feel stuck. Or you can look at people that normally be happy and singing praise and going on, and they find themselves looking kind of out there, or kind of looking at it. You look at people and they're looking through you because they're in a daze. And so again, and these words right here did not come from Pitt Detention Center, but these were some of the exact words last week the guys told me. When I was writing this down and writing all this stuff, I thought about it. I said, man, this is the same stuff these guys behind bars were talking, but now we're going to talk about people that's outside of the bars. Depressed, saddened, hopeless. Depressed, saddened, hopeless. Matter of fact, if you start looking for a way out, many times you can't even seem to find a way out. And so I began to look again and do some studying. And of course, it is Thanksgiving. And when I was a little boy, I remember going to school, and I couldn't wait to get in school. And so I remember drawing taking your hand and putting on a piece of paper and drawing a turkey. Remember that? Tracing your hand and drawing a turkey. And I remember having the Indian headband and the pilgrim hat headband and all those things. And they talked about the pilgrims. But then as I began studying later, I found out, you know, that just awesome. I just thought it was the greatest celebration. But as I got older and started studying the pilgrims, I found out the real reason that they were thankful and how they were actually depressed, saddened, and hopeless for a while. Watch this. Ready? Get ready. There was 104 passengers on a ship as big as a volleyball court. 104 people on a ship the size of a volleyball court. Two died on the trip over. 45 died the first winter. A grave was opened every 3 days for 4 months. Graves were hid in sand from the Indians, and they couldn't even have formal funerals because they didn't want the Indians to know how many people were dying. The rations of the time were 5 kernels of corn a day for each person. The rest they had to scout out in the woods, whatever they could find. But something that amazes me in this first Thanksgiving is that they learned to rejoice in the Lord anyway. So if anybody could have felt stuck, can you imagine? I can't even imagine getting in my car with all my youngins in a minivan. I'm telling you, D.C., I'll tell you a little story. D.C. and Daniel, we had a minivan, and D.C. and Daniel were playing in Four Oaks. Anybody knows where Benson's at in Four Oaks? There was a big tournament going on in Four Oaks. And anybody's ever had any athletes in your family, or you're an athlete, you know you got your lucky socks, your lucky drawers or something that you don't change until the tournament's over. Your lucky shirt. Of course, when you're wearing a uniform, you're stuck with your socks. Well, the thing went on for over a week. After the tournament, I started noticing my van was stinking. I mean, it smelled like somebody died in there. And so I went looking around. I couldn't find anything. I was in a hurry, but I went looking around real quick. I couldn't find anything. The next day or so when I got back in the van, I said, now I know something's died in here. And so I go looking for it. I still can't find it. About the fourth day, I come up and said, not only has it died, it's rotting. What is it? And I finally looked, and in the side pocket in the back of that minivan was DC's socks that he had played in all week and had not changed them. And on the way home, he took them and stuck them in there because they stunk so bad and forgot to take them out. So again, I can't even imagine just riding with my kids. I can't even imagine 104 people on a boat as big as a volleyball court. And after a few days, their good rations were gone. So let's watch this now. Let's watch this. I thought I was lighting up the load a little bit. You ever feel stuck? That's Daniel right there. No, it's not. Have you ever felt stuck? Yeah, goodbye, cruel world. All right. So, here we go. Good news. We can also find relief and release. And the cool thing is this psalm tells us how. Okay, so I'm going to go through it kind of quickly. And the whole week, this whole month, the rest of the month is going to be dedicated to just this right here, Thanksgiving. So let's go back in to this psalm and watch something in here. Thanksgiving commands. Ready? Y'all, when you see a word underlined, I want you, when I start saying, I want you to say it with me. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting and his faithfulness to all generations. That's Psalm 100, the New American Standard Bible. Now again, condensed into five commands. We're just going to talk about five commands. There's a whole lot more commands in there. We're just going to go to five right now. Maybe later on we'll go into more. But right now, just to the very first, the first five, just jump right out at you, all right? So number one command is shout. That's Joshua, okay? Joshua at the walls of Jericho, shouting. So watch this now. Watch. It says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye earth. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Now, there's something about that word joyful noise here that I want you to understand. The Bible says in Joshua 6 and 10, do not shout, don't even talk. Some of y'all would be a whole lot better off if you learned how not to talk. Oh, of course the cup pops back. Look. How many times have you talked yourself out of a miracle? How many times have you talked yourself out of God's blessing you? How many times has God sent somebody to help you and you go, oh, I don't need any help, knowing you need it, but you go, no, I'm fine, you're dying, but you talk yourself and the person out of helping you. That's what I'm talking about talking. So when they go around the walls of Jericho, God's going to do something supernaturally. So he says, I don't want you to shout. I don't even want you to talk, Joshua. You just go, look, not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout and then shout. And that word shout is the same word here for make a joyful noise. Make a joyful noise, shout. The same exact words. Now, if a lot of us could learn, again, and we're all guilty, if we could learn to keep our mouth shut, if we're going to talk negative, all of us all of us. I can't say it again loud enough. All of us. How many times have you said, it'll never work? I bet they're going to be just as owners as they were yesterday. I know nothing's going to come out of this thing. I know that we're going to do nothing but fight the whole day. Guess what you just did? You just invoked a negative faith into your circumstance. Matter of fact, you'll get what you say. So why not just be quiet? And this, my mom used to say, son, if you can't say something good about someone, don't say anything at all. A mighty army getting ready to go out in the next few days is, it's better to be quiet. It's better not to say a word if you can't improve on the quiet. Amen. So when you get it, you'll know, hey, here's where it came from. Amen. So watch this. When you know that God, no matter what, even with all this crazy mess that's going on around us, you know, I dare you to sometimes just turn off the television, especially the news, turn off the radio, the news, and instead listen to God. Read His Word. God's not talking. Every time you read His Word, God is talking. Every time you read His Word, God is talking. So watch. If you can learn, watch this. Shouting is a response to the very presence and the power of God. Let me tell you something. This was a mighty army the other day too. The voice of defeat in your head is loud. Did you know that? The voice of defeat that you hear in your head is very loud. Satan wants you to believe that you're going down. Not only that, but I'm going to tell you how he talks to you. Ready? You might not like this, but many times when Satan's talking to you, he uses your own voice. Amen. You're thinking, well, maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe it's not going to happen. Blah, 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 blah. And you're hearing yourself in the head. You think you're reasoning, not realizing that Satan is just planting negative, 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 so that you don't believe God can handle this thing. So now, here's what I've learned to do. When I hear the negative in my head, first off, I always do this. Stop it. I just say, stop it. Of course, I look crazy in the grocery store. Stop it. They're going, there's nobody around you, bro. What other voices are you hearing? Stop it. And after I say stop it, then I say praise God. And I praise God again. Look, you have to get louder with praise than what the negative is shouting in your head. Amen? And so if you can learn to, instead of engaging in an argument that you're not going to win, no matter who you're arguing with, I promise you, especially if it's someone you love and you get in an argument, neither one of you win. Amen? All right, so instead of arguing and getting negative and negative and negative and negative and just keep building a case and building a case, before long you're already talked into some kind of negative case, instead, praise God. Praise God. Learn to say, God, I thank you. I trust you. I thank you for my mate. I thank you for this situation. I thank you for this that's happening right now because I know that you're teaching me something. Thank you, God. Let it get louder than the negative thoughts that's going through your head. And if you don't, you will be overcome by those negatives. That's not my promise. That's God. You see, when I begin to shut down the negative, I'm reminded this. Watch this. When I shut down the negative in my head, I want y'all to listen carefully. If you're taking notes, write it down because I didn't put it up here. If you shut down the negative junk that's flowing through your mind, shut it down before it goes from your mind to your spirit. Because once it goes to your spirit, then you're going to act on it. So watch. I remind myself, God is not distant. God is right here. He's not distant. He hears what's going on, and he tells me not to believe it. Not only is he not distant, he's not displaced. God knows what's going on, and God belongs right there beside you. He's not displaced. He's not distant. He's not displaced. And listen, he is not distracted. Oh, you're distracted because those negative voices distract us. Learn to shout. Learn to just say, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. And every time I think about this, I think about me and Leedrew Swindell. Leedrew Swindell, we were doing some stuff one day, and he was up on my shoulder, up against the ladder of my shoulder. He's trying to work on a wall, and the bits kept breaking, and they fall down by me and hit me sometimes. They would burn me. But I knew something was getting ready to happen. You know why? I'd hear, glory! Whenever I heard glory, that meant that he was overcoming the negative that he wanted to say. Amen? Anybody knew Leedrew knew that? Glory! I learned such a valuable lesson while he sat on my shoulder that day. And we kept breaking and kept breaking bits. Glory! Y'all try it right now. Say glory! One more time, glory! The next time the negative is just beating you up, here's what you say. Glory! Amen. Isn't that cool? There's a little saying I developed that was, when in doubt, shout. When in doubt, shout. Glory! Y'all do that again. That was good, wasn't it? Glory! Yeah, that was good stuff. Amen. So the next word. Ready? So that's shout. Or, watch this. Here's one thing I used to tell people all the time. I go up to somebody looking kind of rough, and I go, you got a choice. You can pout or you can shout. Don't tell that to a youngin' that's getting ready to fight his brother. That doesn't work then, because then you're breaking up a fight. Listen, I'd rather shout any day than pout. All right, ready? Number two, another word. I told you there's only five words here. Watch this, five. Serve the Lord with gladness. Now that word serve is very special. That word means literally to work. Now, does it mean to work? It means bond service. Now, how many knows the difference between back in that day? In that day, you know, if you owed money, you couldn't call 1-800-RELIEF and they would tell you how, his lawyer would tell you how. No. If you owed money and couldn't pay it, you became slaves to the person that you owed money to. And you became a servant and you worked off that money. And so not only is that, but there was other people that came over, and when they came over into the area, in order to come over to the area, they came over in that way. So there was all kinds of slaves. And when the debt was paid, then you could be out of it. But then there were these people that enjoyed the person they worked for. And because they enjoyed the person they worked for and loved that person because they treated them very nicely, they were called bond slaves. A slave was held against their will. A bond slave was never held against his will. Jesus himself, as he did for us, he did it in a work of love of a bond slave. If you do anything for somebody that you love right now, you're working for somebody, you're trying to help somebody, if you're trying to take care of your parents, you're trying to take care of your children, you got a neighbor next door, or whatever, I like to think of it as bond slave because it's a work of love. It's tough, but it's a work of love. But not only is it a work of love, or we get to where bond slave, it's also worship. You know, so again, you got to understand, God's got something special for you. If you can learn to serve Him, not out of because you got to, but because you want to, because you love Him. And when you do that, it's also worship. Next word, sing. Amen? Sing. Now watch this. Come into His presence with singing. All right? I love it. That word sing. That's why it makes me feel good every time I get up here when DC's not here and I got to sing. Here's what I think. Number one, thank you for the joyful noise, Lord. And number two, sing means to creak. Creak, croak, to shout, use it for joy. It means to sing aloud for joy, sing aloud out of triumph. If you find yourself in a negative situation, remember, this is the power of Thanksgiving. If you find yourself in a negative situation, no matter how negative it is, if you can find a way, you know, my wife taught me something years ago. She said there was somebody in the family that was very negative, and instead of letting that negative get to them, she said her and her kids would get together and decide how many times they were going to be negative. And the winner, I reckon, won a prize, nothing else, bragging rights. And so they were keeping up with it, how many times they were negative. And so it became a little game. So instead of hating being around or not being around that person because that person was negative, they made something out of it and they counted the negatives out. So watch this. So watch. Did you know that singing itself, whether you can sing like a mockingbird or whether you sing like the mockingbird just buried you, all right? It builds our faith, it lifts our mood, and the biggest thing is when you start singing unto God, you attract Him. Isn't that cool? When I start singing about God, I attract Him. Okay? Think about it. Wouldn't it be nice to sing praises unto God because He inhabits the praises of His people? But when I'm praising and when I'm singing unto God, I attract Him. When Paul and Silas were put in jail at midnight at the worst possible time, they were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. You got to look at the Greek in this thing. Of course, at midnight at the very worst possible time, Paul and Silas were in the very bottom of that prison. And back in that day, in the very bottom of that prison, they were in stocks, so they couldn't even move. Back in that day, they didn't have the FDA, and they didn't have OSHA, and they didn't have the Department of Prisons. When you're on the bottom, number one, it was very dimly lit, if you could see it all. Number two, there was rodents. Not only was there rodents, there was dead flesh all around. There was dead flesh all around and dead bodies. Many times they would just take the dead body and they would open up the stocks and take the dead body out and throw it to the side and put new people in the stocks. So you were there with rodents. I know this is right before lunch. You can look at this as you're going to be able to not eat so much for lunch today. Also, there was maggots. I'm just trying to build something here. So there's maggots, there's dead people, there's human waste, and falling out of the ceiling on their head. I've been in D block before, and looked down under the door, and there was human urine coming out, and they're trying to splash it on us. When we went by, they used to try to splash it on us through the door, and they put little pieces of metal up here, so no longer can they throw it to us this way, and they would spit on us. So I remember seeing all that stuff, but I know how bad that was, but I can't imagine that over your head, human waste is falling on you in blood. So here's Paul and Silas have done nothing but deliver a girl from a demon. And now they're put aside. All the way down, they're in stocks, and those stocks were so terrible that usually gangrene would start to set in within minutes of being put in those stocks. So they're stuck in those stocks, they can't move. Human waste, dead bodies, maggots, all this mess going on around them. Now, they could have said, God, is this any way to treat your people? Is this any way to pay us back for doing your work? Is this any way? No. The Bible said, and at midnight, the worst possible time with the least amount of light, and all this stuff crawling on them and falling on them and smelling this stuff and their own gangrene setting in. And they were beat on top of all that. So that stuff was falling in their wounds. It said that they were praying and singing hymns. It didn't say they just went, now lay me down to sleep and pray, Lord, that my soul should take. And Lord God, he set me free. Boom. It said, look at it. It's in the present tense. They were praying and singing hymns, meaning they kept on and kept on and kept on. They never stopped and never stopped. The prisoners said the prisoners were listening to them. That word listening literally means in the Greek, they were listening, expecting something to happen. They didn't know what was going to happen, but they were expecting something to happen. And the Bible said, all of a sudden there's an earthquake. And when the earthquake comes, their bonds are released. Everybody else's doors are open. You see, I dare you. Next time you're feeling rough and feeling like things are bad and feel like you can't make it anymore, I dare you. Go ahead and try singing. Try singing to God. Oh, you might not be like Frank Sinatra, but you ain't got to be Frank Sinatra to sing praises to God, because God's listening. And it attracts him, and good things happen whenever he shows up. Amen. And then I'm getting ready to close. I said getting ready. There's two more to go. Submit. Here's a hard one. Submit. Therefore, submit yourself to God. We always talk about resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Look, how would you like to go squirrel hunting and I gave you a 12 gauge but didn't give you any shells? How would you like for me to give you 12 gauge shells and no 12 gauge? If you just say resist the devil and he'll flee from you, that's a 12 gauge without shells. Therefore, submit yourself to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Now, that's very powerful. Now, I like this word. Watch this. I love the language. Remember, the language is so beautiful and it paints such a big, 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 colorful picture here. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. That word know means, first it means to know, to understand, to be sure. It also means kinsman. So now, not only do I know that the Lord, he is God, but now he's kin to me, and I'm kin to him. It also means to have respect for him, and him to have respect for me. It also means to be skillfully taught. Wow. That's so powerful. So to know God is to know that I'm his, and he's mine. There's an old song we used to sing, I'm his, he's mine. I can't remember all the words right now, but just I'm his and he's mine. As long as I'm talking about Jesus, I'm satisfied. You know, just an awesome song. I'm his and he's mine. All right. Submit means to apply. Trust God enough to give him control. I'm going to stop right there for a minute. Submit means to trust God enough to give him control. One more time. Trust God enough to give him control. There's a lot of people talking about what God's going to do and they give it to God, but they're all working out their own problems. They're working it out. And they just call on God from time to time. God, you know, if this don't work out, I need you. Submit means to trust God enough to give him control. And then finally, sacrifice. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Now, I want you to see something. That word praise and that word thanksgiving. Watch this. That word praise is hallel. It means a clear, loud blast. It means to celebrate. How many felt 100% when you got up this morning? There ain't no hands. How many felt like you could just run 20 miles when you got up? How many was ready to wrestle an alligator when you woke up? Now, you don't have to raise your hands, but how many had to fight the negative to get to church this morning? Don't raise your hands. How many had to fight the negative to get here? There were Thanksgiving. I said, how many probably had to wrestle out again? I saw several people point at their spouse. I don't know. I'm out of it. Okay, we do have marriage counseling in the back later. All right. The word Thanksgiving is extension of the hand. It means adoration. It means confession. It means a sacrifice of praise. I can promise you that if you've lived 5 minutes, there's been times if you're going to praise God, it has to be a sacrifice. Because you don't feel it. You see, I worship God for who He is. I praise God for what He's done. But I thank God for what He's done for me. And sometimes I have to thank Him for things that I didn't necessarily like. When I was a little bitty boy, of course, I had twin brothers. They all got it all figured out. One liked potatoes, one liked dumplings. Mama said, you're going to eat them dumplings, you're going to eat them potatoes. And they would just go, give me your potatoes, give me your dumplings. And there I was. I had to eat potatoes and dumplings, but I liked potatoes and dumplings. And then Mama would make them stringy old okra. Ah, I love them now. But back in the day, they just didn't look right. I thought I was eating old grubby worms. I couldn't do it. And Mama would say, you're going to sit there till you eat every one of them. And then she'd say, Cricket, why is your pocket wet? But you know what? Now I thank her for what she did. Because even eating what I didn't want to eat developed character in me. So now ready? Get ready. BJ, come up here and play something for us, bro. Tomorrow, even today, when things are not going like you planned, they're not happening the way you were expecting them. Remember this, His love is everlasting, it's never failing. And His faithfulness is absolute. And His commitment to you is forever. Worship has an outward focus. Worship is a joyful act. Worship is how we approach God. But the biggest word for worship is thanksgiving. I have found out that I may not can praise my way out of some problems. I found out I cannot play my way out of some problems. But I found out through thanksgiving, whether they moved or not, I changed. And something great happened. Everybody stand. God is so good to us. He gives us more than we deserve. He's better to us than we are to Him. Matter of fact, I really believe he's kind of, I believe that he spoiled a lot of us. He spoiled me. And there's times when I might not like what's going on, and tendency is to pout. But when you can learn, thank God not only for the good times, thank Him for the bad times, something miraculous happens. The circumstances may change, or circumstances may never change, but there's one promise for sure: you'll change. Every head bowed, every eye closed. First thing I'm going to ask, is anybody in here would say, you know, I'm not as close to God as I should be. Matter of fact, I'm so far from Him right now that it scares me. Today you can make it right with nobody looking around, every head bowed. I want you to feel free to do this. I'm not going to call you up here. I'm just going to ask you. Would you slide that hand up quickly? And say, I'm farther from God than I ever wanted to be, and I need God. Touch Him, Lord, touch Him. Maybe you're here today and you had that relationship with God, but it's been injured. Maybe something happened and you weren't thankful. Maybe something happened you didn't understand. Maybe you got hit hard below the belt. I was in the hospital with my father-in-law last week, and of course I didn't get a chance to watch but just about 30 seconds because he was needing help. But there was this movie on from way back in the 60s, and they were in the Colosseum in Rome. I don't know what the name of the movie was. I never got a chance because things shifted so fast that I had to stop what I was doing, turn the TV off, and go to help. But I remember Christians were being led, and this is true stuff, Christians were being led into the Colosseum, and they released, I don't know how many, it looked like they released 100 lions, and there was probably 300 Christians. And the emperor said, something to the effect of, you see what happens when you don't serve the right one? And about that time, and I know this part here had to be fictional, an old man stood up, gray beard, white beard, and he said, Lord, I thank you for these people. I thank you for these martyrs. I ask you to give them the faith they need right now. As the lions were being released, and it was the Apostle Peter. And the lions were released on the people, men, women, children, all of them, and they were taken out. And there I was, I had to stop it right there and help my father-in-law. And up until that point, I'd even thought, man, I'm a little on the tired side, but it's okay. But wouldn't it be nice just to sit back and relax for a few minutes? As I'm sitting back and just going, and I saw these people being led to the slaughter because they were Christians. And hundreds of lions eating them. And I said, and I remember taking church history when I was in Bible college, and that's all true stuff. And I said to myself, and I just asked God, could I have just a few minutes? And then I said, God, forgive me. I thank you that I'm here. I thank you, God, that you chose me to be here, and I thank you for it. And every day, I thank God. The hardest of circumstances, I thank God. Because without Him, we couldn't do this. But with Him, man, if you don't see what it's going to be like on the other side, it's going to be awesome. Maybe you're here today and you're okay with God, but you've not been okay with your circumstances. They've been rough. There's been pain. There's been misunderstanding. And to be honest, instead of you thanking God, you got angry. Not only did you get angry at the circumstance, to be honest, you got angry at God. If you can find a way to thank God, you'll find new strength. You'll find new hope. You'll find joy. If you can learn to thank God, thank Him through it all. So now, with everybody, every head bowed, nobody looking around, if you're here today and you would say, be honest and say, you know what? I haven't been thanking Him like I should, and it's getting the best of me. I need God to help me to get a better perspective. With nobody looking around, would you put that hand up? Bless them, Lord. Bless them. Let's all pray together. Father, I love you. I praise your name. I can't thank you enough for what you've done for me. You did it for me in the past. You're going to do it for me in the future. And even now, through pain and maybe injury, you're doing it right now. And I thank you, God. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I rededicate my life to you, and help me to praise you. No matter what, help me to praise you. And I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Now coming up for the next few weeks, we're going to talk about Thanksgiving. We're not going to talk about Revelation. Although Thanksgiving is a revelation. Amen. You love God? You ready? God is awesome. All the time. Brandon, will you dismiss us?